We'd like to welcome our radio audience and wish you a Happy New Year from the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to help further the building of His kingdom, you may support us by going to visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be January the 21st here at Trinity United Methodist. We'll be serving chili to warm your bellies from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Please come and join us for good food and fellowship. Our scripture this morning is from John 1, 10 through 18. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, for his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and the only, is at the Father's side, has made him known." Our sermon this morning is Less is More by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. Let us go to the Father in prayer before we begin. Light of God, illumine the path that leads us to healing, hope, and salvation. Glory of God, fill this sanctuary. Expose the darkness that stalks our souls. Light of God, shine with such brightness that we marvel in awe. Glory of God, fill each temple of the Holy Spirit present here today. Light of God, glory of God, we welcome you in this place. Amen. I want to share with you this morning a simple biblical message on what it means to maintain contentment and happiness in your life. We all need some contentment and happiness in our lives. You see, most of the world is totally out of control because they have fallen under the spell of a myth, and that myth is that more is better. The more that we accomplish, the more that we achieve, the more that we collect, the more that we attain, the more money that we make, the better we are. Well, beloved, that is just not true. Each and every one of us has a God-shaped hole in our lives, and our lives will never be fully satisfied until we fill that hole with the love of God, until we recognize fully, completely what Christ did for us upon the cross. And until we learn to love ourselves, to value ourselves, to look at ourselves the way that God looks at us and cherishes us. This myth is no more powerful than during the Christmas season. Everybody believes that if they can just get the right gift for everybody, life will be perfect. Well, the Christmas season has come and gone, and we bought what we thought were the perfect gifts for people, and it didn't make things perfect. There is only one perfect gift. It is the greatest gift of all, and that is the love of God. Who so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that we might be reconciled unto him and live with him in eternity. Many of us have played the if only game. If only I get that new car, my life will then be perfect. If only I can get a better job, then I will be happy. If only we could move into a bigger house, our whole family would be happy. If only I would get married, my life would be okay. If only I had children, my life would be okay. And then we move on to when the children move out of the house, I will be happy. We used to tell my youngest daughter, Heather, that when she turned 18, we were moving her bed out onto the street corner. It didn't really happen. Actually, she got married and the two of them lived with us for a while. But we think that our whole life will be happy when we achieve some goal, when we have purchased some major thing. And if we continue to believe that way, our lives will never be fulfilled. Some of us think that when we make it through some major difficulty in life, when we get past a hurdle, when we survive a major trial, then life will be happy. But another challenge is always just around the corner. That's just the way that life is. I love the Apostle Paul because he says that he learned the secret to contentment and happiness, and he learned it in prison. You absolutely have to admire that. Many of us make a lifelong pursuit of happiness. We spend money, we collect things, and we search for new and better experiences. But what happens when those toys rust? What happens when our loved one dies or our health deteriorates? When our money is gone? When the party is over? What happens is despair sets in once again, until we finally adapt to the secret of contentment and happiness. One thing for sure is clear, that we must learn to simplify things. Get all of the clutter out of our life. We have so much stuff in our lives. Georgie Ann was telling me this morning that they were cleaning out their closet. That it had been 20 years probably, I'm sure not, since they lived there. But when you live in one place for a long time, you collect clutter. One of the best ways to simplify your life is to go through your house and get rid of the things that you don't need. We tend to think that the more stuff we have, the happier we will be. When in reality, it just complicates our lives. Because living with less to get more and simplifying with your life starts from the inside out. happiness is an inside job. You could go out today and sell half of your possessions and still not be right with God. Once you have set your heart on Jesus being the main thing in your life, you will be truly changed. So how do we go about changing our hearts and finding contentment and learning that less is truly more? Let me share with you an experience that I had with a friend of mine who came to my office a few years ago. It all started when he became very depressed. There were a lot of things going on in his life. He was about to lose his job. His mortgage was way overdue, and they were about to foreclose on his house. His wife had threatened to leave him, and he came to me in tears, wondering what to do. And then his health began deteriorating. He developed a rare disease that paralyzed him. Everything seemed as if it was falling apart. And he began to discover God once again. This man once had a seriously close relationship with God. But all of that got moved aside with the hustle and bustle of the world and trying to attain things that would make him look good in society's eyes. He began to spend time in the Word every day. He began to pray to the Lord again. And lo and behold, he was healed, and things were changed. His marriage was restored, and he came to the point of being happy, no matter what was happening in his life. The way to contentment is through an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude is appreciating the good things in your life and remembering where they came from. The Word tells us that every good and perfect gift came from above. John 1:16 plainly tells us, from the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. How true. But how often do we stop and think that our blessings have all come from God? How often do we offer thanks to God for the simple blessings in life, friendships, family? You know, I had to think about you the other day, Mary Ellen. I made a great big brunch for Dagan and I, and I thought about all your breakfasts with your grandchildren. Those are truly blessings. The real blessings in life are making memories, not collecting stuff. The Bible tells us over and over again that Paul's words are true about contentment and happiness. Listen to Colossians 3:15-17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. With gratitude in your heart, sing the psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Chad and I were out delivering Christmas meals. We sat in a line for 2.5 hours in the car to get the meals into our car and then to take them out. Well, by the time we got up to the front of the line, the only deliveries left were in North Vernon. I was a little worried because if you remember on Christmas Day, there was still quite a bit of snow on the ground. And the roads in North Vernon were not at all good. And then he goes through the addresses and starts telling me how many of them are out by the lake. And I'm like, oh no. Lake, snow, roads, not good. we began delivering them out there. And I started to grumble just a little bit because the roads were bad. We got stuck on a hill. There was somebody behind me that got out and was literally cussing me out. He was inside taking care of a woman because she was in a wheelchair and she couldn't warm up the meal and things like this. So he's praying with her and warming up the meal, and I'm blasting the horn. And then he gets back out and comes out, and we're talking about all these different places that we go to, and the dogs are chained up, and it's just terrible driving conditions. And all of a sudden, I remembered, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And he kept reminding me over and over again to be grateful for the things that we were doing for the Lord and for people in need. The more that we appreciate the good in our life, the more the good appreciates and overshadows the bad things in our lives. What's more than an attitude of gratitude gives us a better disposition. It fills us full of joy, and it is actually good for our health. Scientific studies have been conducted that says when we live in an attitude of gratitude, it brings about healing. It is a powerful thing. So where do we begin to cultivate this attitude of gratitude? With three things we can't possibly go wrong. If you begin doing these three things, you are guaranteed to have a happy and content life, no matter what challenges life throws at you. First, you will never find true joy and peace until you learn to appreciate yourself exactly the way that God made you. Back in the 80s, there was a popular song sung by Whitney Houston, "The Greatest Love of All." It was a beautiful song. It tells us that the greatest love of all is easy to achieve. It is learning to love yourself and see yourself the way that God sees you. Saint Bernard lived hundreds of years ago, deeply spiritual man. He was very wise. He took all of the lessons that he had learned in life and boiled them down to what he called four spiritual truths. The first one is love of self for self's sake. The second one is love of God for self's sake. The third one is love of God for God's sake. And the fourth one is love of self for God's sake. For who are we to judge God's handiwork? He created each and every one of us in his own image. When I first came to the Lord, I had great difficulty forgiving myself. And somebody told me one day, who are you to judge God's handiwork in your life? If Christ Jesus can forgive you, who are you not to offer yourself the same forgiveness? I remember a young lady in the first church that I served while I was in seminary. It was in Fowlerton, a little bitty town. It didn't have anything but a small town park and our church. Oh, there was a pop machine outside someone's house that they had put there so that the kids would have some place to go. They could walk over to the pop machine and get the pop. This young lady was absolutely fantastic. She wrote her own VBS curriculum. I had just gotten there, and the previous pastor had approved the youth group called Farm Kids doing VBS. She wrote it. She enlisted the people to volunteer. They did all of the props. And the money that they received from VBS, they used to fix up that small little park in the town. We painted the merry-go-round. We changed out the swings. We put a new basketball hoop up. This kid had it all together. She made amazing grades, and she got into the college of her choice. We've kept in touch through Facebook. Awesome thing. One time she messaged me and said, "Pastor, I just made the best decision of my entire life." And I sent back, "What was that?" And she said, "Well, we were talking about going to a party. It was a frat party, and it was off campus. So we were a little concerned to go. We heard that there was drinking there." And she said, "But Pastor, there was this guy that I really liked, so I wanted to go." And they went to the party anyway. The guy came straight up to her and started talking to her. She was so excited. They were talking for a few minutes, and he opened his hand up. And in his hand was a few marijuana joints. And he said, "Why don't you come away with me? We'll go smoke these and we'll have our own fun." She said, "I have to admit, I stood there for just a minute because I really liked him. And then this feeling washed over me. It was so powerful. I could hear my own heartbeat, and it felt like somebody was right above me. And I realized that must be Jesus." And then he said to me, "Don't do it. You are worth so much more than that." The young lady told the guy, No, I don't want to be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that either. I am worth more than that." She's messaging me and she says, "I was so proud of myself. And I finally realized just how God sees me and how much He thinks I am worth. And I will never go and do anything like that again." Happiness is found in truly knowing your worth and being grateful for who you are. Happiness is found in truly knowing that you matter deeply to God, our Father. Someone once said that the greatest thing that can happen is to be able to look yourself in the mirror and to be totally okay with who you are. Second, to find contentment, it is important that you appreciate the people in your lives. As a matter of fact, I will challenge you. When you leave here today, I want you to be thinking throughout the service, and when you leave here today, think of somebody that you truly admire, that you truly appreciate. Call them or message them and tell them that you appreciate them and tell them why you appreciate them. You never know how that can change somebody's life. I know that my mentor and the associate pastor that I first went to church with trusted me at the time, a divorced, single, recovering alcoholic, to work with the youth group. And that literally changed my entire life. And I'm telling you, that gratitude manifested. We went from having 5 kids to 50 in no time whatsoever. They could see that joy and that happiness in me. You know, human beings are strange creatures. We tend to hurt the ones that we love the most. What would happen if we woke up each and every morning and thanked God for being alive? What would happen if throughout the day we thank God for the people that are most important in our lives? In the Native American culture, people wake up and greet the sunrise and thank God for the things that they have in their life. I remember my mentor telling me to thank God for only the things that I wanted to keep in my life. I began thanking him for a whole lot of things at that point in time. A colleague of mine went to his doctor and had a checkup. They were friends, the doctor and he. And as soon as he was done with the checkup, my colleague looked at the doctor and said, "How are you?" And he said, "Well, I've got something I need to get off my chest." And he said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, my daughter is going through a bitter, terrible divorce. And I remember officiating their wedding. They had so much potential." And then all of a sudden I noticed the last 2 years of their marriage, all they did was grumble at each other. And all they did was out loud say what the other one's faults were in front of other people. You know, I honestly think that if they had looked for something that they liked about the other one and become grateful, their marriage would have lasted today. I've learned a whole lot about criticism. Criticism does absolutely no good. Our culture puts a high value on criticism. But which one of you, when somebody comes up to you and says, "Can I give you some constructive criticism?" says, "Oh yes, me please." Every time we get that constructive criticism, and there are times where it is valuable in your life, but most of the times we walk away feeling bad about ourselves. And that does not manifest as change in our life. But you show somebody appreciation. You show somebody thankfulness for something they do, and it is like magic. It literally changes your life. There was a little boy in Detroit who found himself in a classroom one day where a mouse was running around the classroom and all the kids were freaking out. They jumped up on their desk and they were screaming at the top of their lungs. And the teacher looked at him and said, "Stevie, will you help me find the mouse?" You see, the young man had incredible hearing because he was blind. But the ripple effect that teacher's appreciation had on that little boy was absolutely amazing. Nobody had ever appreciated him for anything. And here she was telling him that he had fantastic hearing and she could help him. It literally changed his life. Perhaps you've heard of him. Stevie Wonder? Amazing how appreciation can change somebody's life. Who do you appreciate? Give thanks for them being in your life and give them thanks. Finally, the one person in the Bible who can teach us a great deal about finding contentment is Paul. He actually said that he had learned the secret to being content. Have you ever heard anyone say that? In Philippians 4:11 through 13, he says, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is like to have very little, and I know what it is like to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret, whether I am being well fed or going hungry. I've learned the secret to having plenty and being in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Someone once put it this way: happiness depends upon happiness. Happiness depends on happenings in your life. But true, deep joy depends upon Christ in your life. Norman Vincent Peale remembers going to hear a famous intellectual speak in Syracuse, New York. The man said, "I have not been discouraged the last 25 years of my life." Peale said, "I couldn't dismiss him as a nut. After all, he was a famous intellectual, and he was a patron saint of Methodism. His name was E. Stanley Jones. He was a missionary to India. His job was to convert the famous intellectuals in India to Christ. The night that Jones went on to say the reason that he had never been discouraged is that he had discovered a simple, wonderful, workable secret. He said that he had been trying to carry everything himself, and he had two nervous breakdowns. And then, one day, sitting in church, Jesus said, "Look, Stanley, are you finally going to give everything to me? Just give it to me, and I will give you peace. I will give you energy, and you will have a great life. Are you desperate for contentment and peace and true joy in your life? If you are, perhaps when we get to our song of response, you will rededicate your life to Christ Jesus. Sit in your seat if you must, or come up here to the altar and lay your burdens upon the altar and rededicate yourself once and for all to Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all is love, the love of the Father in sending the Son, the love of the Son in showing us how to live with one another. He came into the very world that he created, and we did not recognize him. Our scripture this morning says, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed on him and accepted him as their Lord, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. His love was full and unfailing. His love is faithful. But to all who accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That is so powerful. Even more powerful is the fullness of his faithful love. From his abundance, we have received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given to Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ alone. From his abundance, we have received one gracious blessing after another. Jesus said the two greatest commandments are that we love God with our entire being and that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Beloved, we are called to live that love out. But how can we live that love out if we do not truly love ourselves? And we cannot truly love ourselves or anyone else until we embrace the work that Christ Jesus did upon the cross for us. Until we begin to see ourselves through the Father's eyes. Then we find true commitment. So I ask you again, when the music begins to play, to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ.